On behalf of Drs. Frank Smith, Bruce Keen, and Larry Tilley, I welcome you to their program of learning heart sounds, murmurs, lung sounds, and the auscultatory characteristics of arrhythmias. The increasing sophistication and number of diagnostic methods in cardiology have added much to our understanding of the action of the heart and lungs in health and disease. These advances have emphasized the importance of accurate clinical evaluation of the heart in the exam room. The least invasive and most cost-effective diagnostic technique remains the traditional one of listening carefully to the patient. This program consists of this CD and a guidebook. The book contains useful figures and tables and more detailed descriptions of the heart sounds, lung sounds, and murmurs. The book also contains brief discussions of relevant physiology and descriptions of some sounds, murmurs, and arrhythmias not included on this CD. To get the most out of this program, we suggest that you study the book prior to listening to this CD. The book is closely coordinated with the CD, and we suggest you refer to the book while listening. For best results, when listening to this CD, use a stethoscope held 3 to 4 inches from the speaker. If not using a stethoscope, the sound on the CD will be perceived as booming and less realistic. To test your comprehension of the material, a series of unknown sounds have been included at the end of each section. A heart sound simulator was used to create most of the heart sounds, murmurs, and arrhythmias on this CD. The simulated heart sounds are heard first at 60 and then at 120 beats per minute. These rates represent the low end of the canine and feline physiologic heart rate range. The simulated murmurs are recorded at various rates between 60 and 120 beats per minute. These relatively slow rates were chosen to facilitate learning the different sounds and murmurs. Clinical examples, most of which were recorded from animals with higher heart rates, are also included. Although this CD was made using high-quality recording techniques and simulating equipment, there is no substitute for careful auscultation of clinical cases for learning to recognize heart sounds and murmurs. This CD and guide provide an introduction to the art of auscultation and will hopefully stimulate you to continue learning through the performance of careful cardiac examinations on your patients. Heart sounds and murmurs have the physical properties of intensity, frequency, and duration, and subjective properties of loudness, pitch, and shape. The perceived loudness of sound is determined by both the intensity and frequency. A high-intensity sound in the range of frequencies heard best by the ear will be perceived as louder than an equally intense sound of lower frequency. Auscultation of the heart and lungs is limited by the sensitivity of the human ear. Adults with normal hearing can detect sounds from around 20 to 14,000 cycles per second, or hertz. Sounds with frequencies between 1,000 and 5,000 hertz are heard most efficiently. Below 1,000 hertz, there is a progressive decrease in auditory sensitivity. Thus, an intense cardiovascular sound may be perceived as a soft sound that is difficult to hear. Almost all clinically significant cardiovascular sounds occur in the frequency range of 50 to 500 hertz, occasionally up to 1,000 hertz. The relationship between the range of human hearing and the cardiovascular sound is shown in Figure 1-1 to demonstrate the relationship between perceived loudness and sound frequency and to test your hearing. Listen to the following sounds that were synthesized at different frequencies, but at the same intensity. First, a 14,000 hertz tone. Next, a 10,000 hertz tone. This next tone is 5,000 hertz. This next tone is 1,000 hertz and represents the top of the frequency range of cardiovascular sounds. Now listen to a 500 hertz tone. Most cardiac sounds are 500 hertz or less. This next tone is 100 hertz. This 40 hertz tone is near the lower end of the range of cardiovascular sound. The temporal relationship between heart sounds is also important. Your ear normally differentiates between a slurred sound and two distinct sounds when the sounds are separated by between 0.02 and 0.03 seconds. This means that in order to appreciate a split heart sound, or to recognize transient heart sounds as separate sounds, the sounds must be separated by at least this interval. Splitting of some heart sounds that are easily appreciated in humans, such as physiologic splitting of the second heart sound, is rarely appreciated in dogs or cats, in part because of their high heart rates and generally uncooperative nature. They will rarely take a deep breath and hold it. To help you recognize split heart sounds, let us listen to some transient sounds separated by various intervals. Using a heart rate of 60 beats per minute, we will listen first to a splitting of 0.08 seconds. A splitting of 0.06 seconds. A splitting of 0.04 seconds. And a splitting of 0.02 seconds. And now back to a 0.04 second split. Do you have an easier time recognizing the two components of this sound now? Your ear can be trained to improve its acoustical acuity, and this method of listening to successively narrower and broader splitting is one method by which this can be accomplished. A high-quality and properly fitted stethoscope is of great importance in the thorough examination of the heart. The tubing should be flexible and approximately 12 to 20 inches in length. The chest piece should consist of a bell and a diaphragm in either a combination or single-sided style. The earpieces must be large enough to fit snugly without entering the ear canals. Appropriate use of the bell or diaphragm is critical to accurate auscultation. The diaphragm is used primarily to hear higher frequency sounds, and the bell primarily to hear lower frequency sounds. The bell should be applied lightly to the chest wall, since too much pressure on the bell will tighten the skin and create a functional diaphragm that will filter out lower sound frequencies. In contrast to the bell, the diaphragm should be firmly applied to the chest wall to couple it closely to the movements of the chest wall caused by the heart sounds or murmurs. Before starting the physical examination, the patient should be prepared for auscultation in a quiet room. The patient should be standing and breathing quietly. If the patient is excited and tachycardic, reevaluate the heart after the patient relaxes. Care should be taken when auscultating not to confuse respiratory sounds, shivering, twitches, or rubbing of hair for heart sounds. Develop a systematic approach to auscultation. Listen over all valve areas. The principal areas of cardiac auscultation are depicted in Figure 1-6. Some clinicians find it useful to palpate a peripheral artery when auscultating the heart. The peripheral pulse occurs just after, nearly simultaneous with, the first heart sound, S1, and helps distinguish S1 from the second heart sound, S2. Determine the point of maximal intensity, area of radiation, pitch, duration, quality, and timing of any murmurs. Note the effects of respiration on the rhythm, heart sounds, and murmurs. Concentrate on the overall and comparative loudness of the heart sounds. We begin our study by listening over the mitral area to the characteristic lub-dub pattern of the normal heart sounds. S1, which signals the onset of ventricular systole, is heard best with the diaphragm of the stethoscope. Note that in the mitral area, S1 is longer, louder, and lower pitched than S2. The main component of S1, the mitral component, is typically loudest over the mitral valve region. The second component of S1, the tricuspid component, is usually softer than the mitral component and is heard best over the tricuspid area on the right hemithorax. Physiologic splitting of S1 is rarely appreciated in dogs and cats. It is heard occasionally as a normal variant in large and giant breeds of dogs. Pathologic splitting of S1, caused by asynchronous closure of the AV valves, may be caused by bundle branch blocks or ventricular extrasystoles. When present, splitting of S1 may be heard best in the tricuspid area. We will now listen to the normal S1 and S2 in the tricuspid area. Note that S1 is also longer, louder, and lower pitched than S2 when heard in the tricuspid area. We will listen first at 60 beats per minute. Now at 120 beats per minute. We will continue listening in this area, but now with splitting of S1. This is depicted in Figure 1-8. Listen first at 60 beats per minute. Now 120 beats per minute. We will now listen in the aortic area, where S1 is heard as a single sound. Note that in the aortic area, S2 is louder than S1. We will listen first at 60 beats per minute. Now at 120 beats per minute. We will now move the stethoscope back to the mitral area. S1 is louder than S2 in the mitral region, and S1 is heard as a single sound. Listen first at 60 beats per minute. Now 120 beats per minute. We will now shift our auscultation from the left apex to the base of the heart and study the second heart sound. S2 is normally louder than S1 at the base of the heart. It is also shorter in duration and higher pitched. S2 consists of an aortic, A2, and pulmonic, P2 component. A2 is normally heard first because systemic pressure is higher than pulmonary pressure, and this forces the aortic valve closed earlier than the pulmonic valve. Separation of S2 into its two components is best perceived at the left heart base, where both the aortic and pulmonic component are best heard. Normal or physiologic splitting of S2 consists of widening of the A2-P2 interval during inspiration with narrowing during expiration. During inspiration, there is a drop in intrathoracic pressure with increased venous return to the right ventricle and decreased return to the left ventricle. As a result, right ventricular ejection time is prolonged, causing a delay in P2, and left ventricular ejection time is shortened, causing an earlier occurrence of A2. Physiologic splitting of S2 is often not detectable in dogs and cats under routine clinical circumstances. We will now listen to physiologic splitting of S2 at the base of the heart, as illustrated in Figure 1-12. We will listen first at 60 beats per minute. Now, listen at 120 beats per minute. Certain pathologic conditions cause both components of S2 to be heard individually throughout the respiratory cycle. With persistent splitting of S2, the normal widening of the split during inspiration and narrowing with expiration continues to occur, but without expiratory fusion of S2. See Figure 1-12. Heartworm disease and subsequent pulmonary hypertension is probably the most common cause of persistent splitting of S2 in dogs. We will listen first at 60 beats per minute. Now, 120 beats per minute. With fixed splitting of S2, the degree of splitting of the second heart sound does not appear to be affected by respiration. This is illustrated in Figure 1-12. This may be appreciated in patients with atrial septal defect. We will listen first at 60 beats per minute. Now at 120 beats per minute. Paradoxical splitting occurs when the aortic valve closure is significantly delayed with respect to the pulmonic valve, reversing the normal sequence. P2 now precedes A2. The S2 split now increases during expiration and decreases with inspiration. This paradoxical splitting, as depicted in Figure 1-13, occurs with left bundle branch block and rarely with aortic stenosis. Listen first at 60 beats per minute. Now at 120 beats per minute. We will now shift our attention to the third heart sound, which is also called a protodiastolic or ventricular gallop sound. It occurs just following S2, as shown in Figure 1-14. S3 is generally considered to be pathologic when heard in dogs and cats. S3 is a low-frequency sound, and therefore is heard best with the bell of the stethoscope lightly applied to the chest wall. It is loudest at the cardiac apex. S3 may be accentuated by conditions that increase blood flow to the heart. S3 may also vary in intensity with respiratory variations in blood flow. The left ventricular S3 is accentuated during expiration, and a right ventricular S3 is augmented during inspiration. We will now listen to S3 in the mitral valve region using the bell of the stethoscope. We will listen first at 60 beats per minute. In this example, S3 is quite loud. Note that the cadence is 1, 2, 3. Now at 120 beats per minute. We will now study the fourth heart sound, which is also called an atrial or presystolic gallop sound. The audible component of S4 occurs in presystole, just prior to S1. See Figure 1-15. An atrial gallop is generally considered pathologic when heard in the dog and cat. S4 is the lowest pitched heart sound and is heard best with the bell of the stethoscope lightly applied to the chest wall. An S4 originating from the left ventricle is heard best at the left cardiac apex and increases in loudness during expiration. An S4 from the right ventricle is heard best at the tricuspid area and increases in loudness during inspiration. We will now listen to S4 at the left apex using the bell of the stethoscope. We will listen first at 60 beats per minute. The cadence of the sounds is 4, 1, 2. Now at 120 beats per minute. Now listen to a clinical example of an atrial gallop sound in a dog. At times, all four heart sounds may be heard, forming a quadruple rhythm. Listen now to a quadruple rhythm at the left cardiac apex. We will listen at 60 beats per minute. The cadence of the sounds is 4, 1, 2, 3. When both S3 and S4 are present and the heart rate accelerates, they may come together in diastole to be heard as a single sound, known as a summation sound or summation gallop. This occurs commonly in cats with heart disease that have both an S3 and an S4. We will listen first to a simulated summation gallop at 120 beats per minute. Now listen to a summation gallop recorded from a cat with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. We will now study ejection sounds or ejection clicks. Ejection sounds or clicks are discrete high-frequency sounds following the first main component of S1 and occurring at the onset of ventricular ejection. See Figure 1-18. Ejection sounds may arise from either the aortic or pulmonic circulation. The terms ejection sound and ejection click are frequently used interchangeably, depending on the quality of the sound. When the sound is very high-pitched and clicky, it is called an ejection click. When the clicky quality is absent, it is referred to as an ejection sound. Ejection sounds or clicks are relatively uncommon in dogs and cats. Aortic ejection sounds are heard best at the left heart base. They are high-pitched sounds and are heard best with the diaphragm of the stethoscope. Recognition of an aortic ejection sound during auscultation depends on the relative loudness of S1 and the ejection sound and the interval separating the sounds. The ejection sound must be differentiated from an S4-S1 combination or a split S1. Suspect an ejection sound when S1 appears to be split, and the second component has a high-pitched or clicking characteristic. We will now listen at the aortic valve region to an aortic ejection sound as it might sound in a dog with aortic valve stenosis. We will listen first at 60 beats per minute. The sound cadence is 1-click-2 or lub-click-dup. Now listen at 120 beats per minute. Pulmonic ejection sounds have the same auscultatory characteristics and timing as aortic ejection sounds. They are heard best in the pulmonic area on the left hemithorax. The last transient sound we will study is the systolic click. Systolic clicks are discrete, high-frequency sounds that usually occur during mid or late ventricular systole, as shown in Figure 1-20. These sounds are best auscultated with the diaphragm of the stethoscope over the mitral and tricuspid valves. Systolic clicks may occur alone or with a systolic murmur. Variability in timing and intensity characterizes mid-systolic clicks. They may be absent, single or multiple, and may be either mid or late systolic in occurrence. They are heard occasionally, most often in dogs with myxomatous degeneration of the mitral valve, where they may be associated with prolapse of the valve. Systolic clicks have also been noted as an incidental finding in dogs without apparent cardiac disease, but in Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, these sounds are often associated with mitral valve prolapse and are considered by many to be harbingers of future chronic valve disease. Listen now to mid-systolic clicks in the mitral valve region. We will listen first at 60 beats per minute. Again, the sound cadence is lub-click-dup. Now at 120 beats per minute. Now listen to a clinical example of a mid-systolic click recorded from a dog with mitral valve prolapse. This dog also has a sinus arrhythmia. For comparison, listen again to the clinical example of an atrial gallop sound in a dog. You may need to move back and forth between these sounds until you can reliably distinguish their timing and character. To evaluate how much has been learned, we now come to some unknown sounds. Since you are not examining the patient, the location and, where appropriate, the timing are provided. You have heard each of these sounds during the program. Write the answers in your manual and compare them with the answers provided. Unknown number 1 at the left apex. Unknown number 2 in the aortic area. Identify the early systolic sound. Unknown number 3 at the left apex. Identify the diastolic sound. If the rate were lower, 2 diastolic sounds would be heard. Unknown number 4 at the pulmonic area. Unknown number 5 at the left apex. Identify the sound following S2. Unknown number 6 at the left apex. Unknown number 7 at the pulmonic area. Identify the early systolic sound. Unknown number 8 at the left apex. Identify the sound preceding S1. Unknown number 9 at the pulmonic area. This Great Dane has a normal echocardiogram. Unknown number 10 at the pulmonic area. Please refer to the manual for the answers. After you have thoroughly reviewed heart sounds, please continue reading in your manual while listening to heart murmurs.